So last night, if you were here during worship, we sang one song. I'm going to mess up my password until I get it. I better do this right. I have to pay attention, I guess. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I could probably do it from memory, but this would be better. Anyway, we sang the Lauren Daigle song last night. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust. I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings, and there's not a day ahead you have not seen, so let all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, nothing less. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock in which I stand. Your ways are higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go that you've not already stood. And that pretty much sums up what I've got to say this afternoon, so we can kind of be done here if you want. But I mean, it really is. That's what this is all about.
Are you going to sing it for us?
Singing is not one of my strong points. So anyway, the verse that I'm working with is Psalm 119, 67 through 73. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good. What you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I know your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver or gold. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. And then one more verse, 92. If your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. That's a tough ask. So that we all have the same understanding, what does afflicted mean? Well, it pretty much means anything that causes pain or suffering. Some of the synonyms that have similar meaning: trouble, bother, burden, distress, cause, trouble to, cause suffering to, beset, harass, worry, oppress, annoy, vex, irritate, exasperate, strain, stress. It's a long list. And none of that's fun stuff. None of that's fun stuff. But does anybody identify with that maybe happening in your life once in a while? Did you consider it good? No, neither did I. But I know that I am so much more solid and steady because of those challenging times. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Why do these things happen? Sometimes it's just because bad stuff happened in a bad world. You know, there's evil in the world and things happen. Sometimes we make bad decisions and there's consequences for those decisions. But whatever the source, whatever brings that affliction around, God can and will use it if we allow him to be constructive in our lives. When I actually first saw this topic, I was excited. And that's hard to describe, but it's like, no, I get this. And I'm going to explain a little bit why. And one of the first things that came to mind was 2 years ago we were at this conference and Mark Blankenbeckler spoke. And he used a verse, and he illuminated part of that verse to me that has just resonated with me ever since. 1 Peter 1:6, and this is out of the New King James, and it's where Peter's talking about the inheritance we have in heaven. And he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been greatly grieved by various trials." And I agree with Mark. There's been a lot of need be in my life. And it's just like, if need be, well, what's that need be for? Well, I've had a lot of that. But I know now how much that meant to me. See, my foundation life was kind of messed up. Short story, my mom and dad had 5 kids. Out of that original family of 7, there's 2 of us left. Parents got divorced when I was 5 because of their multiple relationships. I grew up with 7 different combinations of parents and went to 16 different schools before I graduated from high school. Lost my 3 older siblings and both parents all too soon, 4 of them to cancer. And that's the short list. And there's lots more. Was I grieved at each loss? Did I struggle and cry out to God? Absolutely. Was I a broken mess at times? Yeah. But why do I share that? Because the one stable constant in my life was God. And he's why I can stand here today and share the truth and peace of trusting God through the afflictions in your life. You ever wonder why we can't learn the easy way? Yeah, me too. But God knew that, because if you read the Bible, there are so many scriptures. I just really had to pare down the list. There's tons of scriptures in there on affliction and the benefits from affliction and how it's supposed to be good for us. It wasn't fun. But let's go back to 1 Peter 1. And this verse, as we continue on, tells us some of the reasons, starting in verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Key point. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's powerful. Even when you don't feel it or see it, you love and believe in him. I made a decision lots of years back to follow Jesus. And so when you hit that decision point, when I have in my life and it's like something's tough and it's like, what are you going to do? Which direction are you going to take? It's like, no, I made that decision. God says you're going to follow me. And it's like, I made that decision already. I don't have a choice. I made that commitment. I'm going to follow God. Personal story about this. About 10 years ago, Laura was in the hospital for one of her first major intestinal surgeries. It's supposed to be like a 5 or 6 day deal. Yeah, 4 to 5 days. Turned out to be 10 days, 10 hard days. Her body didn't respond like it was supposed to. She had multiple really bad reactions to medications. She was on 3 different anti-nausea meds and still throwing up continually. And throwing up when you've had abdominal surgery is not fun. She was beyond miserable and in ridiculous pain. The doctors, after a week, were really getting concerned about her, so they tried to put in a port to feed her intravenously. That wouldn't work either. It was not a good time. It was tough. I was in the room playing. I had worship music playing most of the time. I was there with her 20 hours a day plus, and just praying. We're crying out to God, and things just aren't looking that good. Probably about day 7 or 8, we were discussing what's going on, you're going to hear this whole story tomorrow, and I just encourage you to, you've got to listen to what she has to say, because this is my outside perspective of the story, and I'm just doing a little bit of it. But she looks at me, because I'm trying to encourage you and all that, and she says, God is God. And I'm like, huh? No, she says, no, God is God. And she had grasped that revelation that God was bigger than anything she was going through. That he was truly the God of the universe, and he was bigger than what she was going through. And she could trust in that. And she'll tell you what brought her to that point. But I can tell you that when she talks about inward peace and poise, I don't know anybody more qualified. I better stop there. She was in all of that pain, as miserable as she was. She was so gracious to the hospital staff, doctors, everybody that came in. She was always kind and gracious. It was just phenomenal. I mean, as miserable as she was, she was giving encouraging words. There were new nurses, and she's just giving them encouraging words. And it's like, it was just amazing to watch. So, did she feel what Psalm 119:71 says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees? Not at that time. But today, I know she would not trade the joy and the peace of the foundation that she has with the Lord because of those afflictions, because he knew what was yet to come. And that's one of the real takeaways I want you to have this afternoon. is that when you're going through those difficult times and it's hard to you've got to understand, we don't know what's going on, but God does. He's got the big picture. He has the big picture of your life, and that's what we need to truly understand and embrace. A quote from John Piper, and this has been probably one of the most tweeted ones around of all of the quotes that he's had, so you've probably seen it on Facebook or somewhere. God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you might be aware of three of them. God, we're stuck with our little, maybe three-dimensional world here. God is not. He has so many different dimensions and so many, such a big picture of everything from here and now to the timeline front and back. He's got it all. And not only may we see just a tiny fraction of what God is doing in our lives, the part we see doesn't make any sense to us. And there's some great examples in Scripture that I got from John Piper as well that we're going to go through. You may find yourself in prison, and God may be advancing the gospel among the guards and making the free brothers bold. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul's in prison. Not fun. So that has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest of that my imprisonment is for Christ, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are so much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul was is in prison. That's affliction. Or how about you may find yourself with a powerful thorn, and God may be making the power of Christ more beautiful in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. To keep me from being conceited, three times I pled with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We don't know God's purposes and what's going on through us. He does. So you may find yourself with a dead brother that Jesus could have healed, and God may be preparing to show you his glory. John 11, 1 through 44, the story of Lazarus who dies. Jesus shows up 4 days later. But get this part. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. He didn't weep for Lazarus. He wept because he had compassion for their pain. What are you going through right now? What's going on in your life that you think God is distant from you about? He sees that pain. He knows that pain. You may be asking him to take it away, and he's weeping about that. He knows the outcome of the story. He knows that Lazarus is going to live. He knows that, you know, he said at the beginning of that story, this sickness will not end in death. No, this is for God's glory, that so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. But he was still so moved with compassion at their grief and pain that he cried with them. He sees you, but he's also God. And he sees the big picture of the thousands of other possibilities and purposes and people that will benefit from whatever we're going through, including us, and how the kingdom of God and the glory of God will show through our lives. He has to be the foundation of our life to hold us up to all these things. He's the constant that never changes. But I don't like trials. Can't I just have a smooth path for a while? But our response needs to be not my will, but his. And if he is, then we can understand James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Another great biblical example is the story of Joseph. He found himself sold into slavery, accused falsely of sexual abuse, and forgotten in a prison cell. And yet God was preparing him to rule a nation. Can you imagine how the years being sold by his brothers, rejected by his family, and all the years of abuse, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but you know that. How difficult would that have been? And how did Joseph survive all those years? How did he stand with integrity through all of those years? Because he knew God was God. And he was God of Joseph's life. And that's what he had to hold on to. The first time I really understood, got a glimpse, I guess, of the big picture influence in my life, when I was able to look back through a series of events. Back when Laura and I, we first moved to Kodiak, or moved to Alaska in 1980, so we've been up here a few years. We were living in the Kodiak area, and she was pregnant with our first child. And everything went great until her water broke. Go to the hospital, ready to go through the process, nothing happens. Nothing happens. So they try to induce her with some labor, nothing happens. So ultimately we end up with a cesarean. Beautiful son, both of them recovered fine, and that part of that, okay, no big deal, move on. About three and a half years later, we're living in Sitka. She's pregnant with our second son. But she did not want to have another cesarean. She wanted to have a normal birth. Okay, doctors in Sitka at that time, this is back in 85, they wouldn't do that. So we found a doctor down south that was very near where my mom lived in Washington that would do so. It turned out to be just a phenomenal doctor. It was great. So she did a few appointments down there, and then as time got close, like in her last month, she flew down there to stay and be ready to have the baby. And this, seriously, is how bad she wanted this normal birth. She went to live with her mother-in-law for a month. And it was my mom, that was a sacrifice, telling you. She was desperate. It was serious. And this was in September, very busy time of year for me. I'm really working a lot, and I figured we'll just stall and I'll just go down at the last minute, whenever that would be. And so we held off until things started looking fairly imminent. And on September 5th, I flew down. I remember it, I think, being a Thursday. And so I'm at my mom's house with Laura. And the next morning, on September 6th, the phone rings. It's my office in Sitka. And they're telling me that the commercial fishing boat that my brother Ken had been working on sank out in the Gulf of Alaska, and he was missing. My initial reaction was I was mad. I wanted, why am I not there? Why am I not where the command center is that I could be involved in this search? And why am I just wanted to be a part of that. It's like I was so frustrated. Why did I have to leave Sitka yesterday? Why am I not there to be part of this situation, and you know, to help, even though there wasn't anything I could do? And then I turn around and I see my mom, and I see the shock and pain that she was in. At that time, it was losing her second child, and I knew right then and there I was exactly where I needed to be. Now, did Laura have a cesarean back in Kodiak so I would be there at that point in time? You know, I can't answer that, but I just know that God used it, because that wouldn't have been any other reason that I would have been where I needed to be at that point in time. 4 days later, Tyler Kenneth Kronk was born, and after 36 hours of labor, Laura got her wish, we have a wonderful son. It was pretty awesome. But I wouldn't have been there. And that's one of those, when I can look back, I could just see how God used the trials and afflictions that we went through in life, the difficulties that we went through, to bring us where I needed to be. There's a side note to that, too. During the days after my brother, we lost my brother, I saw my mom staring at her Bible. She knew the answer was in there, but she didn't know where to find it. But that started her on a path of study. And a real focus that led her to writing multiple books on grief and becoming a speaker, a public speaker. She had prison ministries. She because that motivated her to move on and find the answers in God. And when she found them, she wanted to share them. did my brother have to die so many lives would be touched? I can't say, but God is God. And he sees so much more than we can imagine. I can say that Psalm 119:92, if your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery, was what kept my mom going throughout that time, and the ultimate loss years later of my other sister to breast cancer. It was a struggle. And it wasn't easy. But no matter what we're going through, remember, Jesus wept. That may be the shortest verse in the Bible, but if you get a hold of that, it's powerful. Because he knows exactly where you're at, and he knows the pain you're going through. And he knew the pain they were going to go through, and it moved him to tears. Even though he knew the positive outcome down the road, just like in our lives. What's going on in our life may be difficult, but there's an outcome that God can see. And so he's going to help us walk through that time. We ask for a lot of things we don't get. And I was working on this, and I'm not a big country western song fan, but my wife did like Garth Brooks for quite a while. And one of his songs just kept coming to mind, Unanswered Prayers. And I'll go through most of the lyrics just in case some of you don't know the song, but it's just the other night, a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into an old high school flame. And as I touched them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the ways things used to be. She was the one I'd wanted for all time, and each night I spent praying that God would make her mine. And if you'd only grant me this one wish, back then I would never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he doesn't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. She wasn't quite the angel I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that I'd changed too. We tried to talk about the old days, and there wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as she walked away, I looked at my wife then and there, and I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Some of God's greatest gifts, all too often, are unanswered prayers. He knows our future so much better than we do. And how many times has he not responded? I cried out in the hospital for Laura more than you can possibly imagine, with every ounce and every technique I've learned to pray in all the years of being a Christian. And nothing happened, other than that she became an amazing, strong person and got the foundation as she went through the last 10 years of even more difficult times physically, and did it with poise, did it with strength, because she kept falling back on that God is God. And she never wavered from that foundation. You heard what Nancy was sharing about her. It's like you never saw that in her. She wasn't hiding it. She just had a peace because God is God in her life, and she had that foundation. One other reason that God allows some things in our life, we'll find in Hebrews 12:5-11. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses a son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate. You're not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Let him produce peace in your life so that you can stand during these times of affliction. there are so many confirmations in the Word about this. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Romans 12, 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Psalm 34, 19. The righteous person may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. We may not know why things happen in a life, but we know who. We know who to stand on, who to stand with. So when you're going through difficult times, remember who. Who's got you? More and more, I see that Laura and I have, our relationship is kind of unique. She's been my girlfriend for 46 years, since we were like 15, and my wife are coming up on 41. And we're crazy about each other. We're best friends, love being together. We just took a 14-day cruise, and most couples said that they'd kill each other in 14 days in a small cabin. I guess we're kind of strange, but space is good. We do our other things, but our first focus is on us. We just have such a joy being together, and some of that came out of all of the trials and times that we were together. And yes, it was a challenge. And there were times where I did 100% of everything in the house, around the house, in our lives for quite some time. It is what it is, you know. It was like it was a service. It was grace to be able to do that. We also have a passion for sharing about our relationship now, and a joy of focusing on relationships and trying to share some of that with people. Has it always been that way? Nope. Was it easy? No. We've been through some tough times. We've needed a lot of help to learn how to communicate and develop the tools to work through all things together. And we've been through the fire, literally. Had a house burned down and lost everything. We've been through, and from that we learned how to live with a greater sense of generosity. We learned, losing the house and everything in it, that was just stuff. When we woke up the next morning and us and our three kids were all fine, it's like, what's important in life? And so we've been multiple blessed so many times over that, and God is just taking such great care of us. But we live with a generosity because we're not attached to that stuff. We know who. We've had, been through our many years of difficult health problems. We've lost many family friends, very close friends to cancer. I've lost a best friend. This last year I spoke at more funerals than I should have because of losing people. And can God heal cancer? Absolutely. Why didn't he? I don't know. And just last year, I yelled at God and argued with God, and we're still arguing about it, but he's still God. When I go to church on Sunday, and some of you will know this, but when I see that empty piano, Pam Copeland's not there. She was a great worship leader. And we miss her. Why did she go home? She's singing with the Lord now. And I don't get it. I don't know why, but I know who, and I can have peace in that who. Even in the pain of that loss, I still know who. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. The things we go through, the peace that passes all understanding, is what he gives us. I've stood beside the bedside of too many people as they've passed and transitions from this earthly body to the heavenly one. And there's always tears, and there's heavy hearts, and it's difficult, but there's a peace in that process, and you understand that peace. And I've learned it, I feel like I know I've learned it the hard way. And I've struggled with that, and like I say, this last year I've had to speak at a couple of funerals that were really, really hard. I had to speak at my own parents' funeral. My mom put it in her will. Les will give the eulogy at my funeral. And I did, and it was a God thing, and it went well. It was a good opportunity. But yeah, when I got up there, I said, well, I'm here because mom told me to. But what do we do with this? What do we let these trials and afflictions do in our lives? They build a foundation. They build a foundation, and we've got to lean on what we know. We've got to lean on the Word, and we've got to fall back on that. Doug shared during his session today about being at a low point when he was just feeling this high and just feeling so broken before God. That what he did was fell back on what he knew. He knew he'd made a decision for God. He made that decision early in his life, and he knew that was the foundation he had to go back to. You don't feel it. You don't feel all holy and great at that time. You just know that this is what you have to do. This is who you are. You've got to go back to that foundation. You've got to rest on the Word and get in the Word and understand the Word. And I just read a few scriptures. Just a few. There are so many in there. It talks about how to be strong during affliction and the benefits to our lives from these afflictions. I wish there was an easy way for us to learn, but just not finding it. We do seem to learn, and I many a time wish I would just smarten up and learn things the easy way. But it does get easier. Does it mean that we're going to not have pain in our lives? We're not going to have afflictions? No, it never means that. But it's just like in a relationship. The more problems you solve together, the more mountains you climb over as a couple, that means there's fewer barriers between you. And we climbed some tough mountains early on in our lives, in our relationship, that were just almost insurmountable, we felt like. You don't even feel, it's just like, nah, it's going to be either divorce or murder or something. We're just not going to get through this. And yet, when you do, that peels a layer off, and you're one step closer to each other and closer to each other and closer to each other. And that's how it is with God, as he peels off the layers of our self. He peels off the layers of the world that we're encoded with by breaking through to our hearts in a powerful way. Then we get closer to him. There's a greater intimacy with him. And when you finally get to that stage, then you get that. You know that. And it's awesome in this relationship. It's absolutely amazing. I just pray more people can get to the stage that we're at. And life isn't totally easy, but it is a lot more fun when you can share it with your best intimate friend you could imagine. That's good. But we can do that with God. And that's what he wants from us. That's what he wants in our lives. And that's what he wants to do through us and to us. So when you're getting inundated by afflictions, sometimes you may feel like it's because you screwed up and it's punishment. And is it really punishment from God? No. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Are some of the afflictions due to bad consequences of bad decisions? Yes, they are. But what do you do during those times? You fall back on what you know. You fall back on the Word. You fall back on the foundation that you've grown to trust. Just like the Lauren Daigle song, I will trust you. Even when those mountains don't move, when the rivers don't part, I will trust you. That song truly sums up everything I was going to say here today. It's great. I just laughed when you started singing that last night. It's like, okay, I'm done here. That's it, right there. But we've got to know and trust that he not only is doing it for our good, but he cares. And this is why this hit me so powerfully that I just keep coming back to that. Jesus wept. Not because of he didn't know the outcome, but because he saw their pain. He saw how much they hurt. And if you can embrace a God that compassionate, that he knows you're struggling, he knows what you want in your life, he knows your greatest desires, and he also knows your best path to get to those. And it's I really appreciated what Doug had to say today. He shared a lot. He was very vulnerable about his life, and that was good. And I wasn't going to share near as much as I probably have, but my wife made me watch a really good speaker on courage and vulnerability. Brené Brown and vulnerability, and it's like, all right, be vulnerable. Because I could have done this whole thing with just strictly biblical examples, but who I am is, and why I can stand here and tell you this is because I truly have lived it. You know, and some of you may have more difficult stories. I don't know what's gone on in your life. You know, there's so much that we've all had to face and live with and deal with. But when you get to know the compassionate God that can see so much more than we can see, he can see, you know, he's doing 10,000 things in your life, and we're barely aware of three of those, and those three we barely understand. So we've got to trust that further down the path, we may see why. Sometimes you don't look back and see why. You don't see it. You don't get it. In Hebrews, they talk about the people that had faith, and they believed, and they strived, and through faith and patience, they never did see what they were hoping for. They do now because they're with the Lord, but there's so much that we have to rely on and count on, and that's what faith is all about. But we've got to trust his wisdom. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Trust that he really does have the big picture and he really wants to get his way in the end. I told myself when I went into this one that I was not going to use the book of Job because that's kind of a classic one about how, you know, all the miserable things in life, but I did get one verse out of there that I think is pretty good. Job 42:2. There is no power in the universe that can stop him from fulfilling his totally good plans for you. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. That's God in our life. We want his purpose in our life. We don't want it to be thwarted. We want him to have his way in our lives. Sometimes that's painful. Sometimes that's difficult. And so much of the time we don't know why, but we know who. And that's what you have to walk out of here with. You know who. And that's what's going to get you through those times. When you don't feel it, when you don't sense it, it's cold, it's like the heavens are like brass. You know who. And you trust his word that he is there for you. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything or about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This has become a life verse for me. With all that's gone on in my life, I fall back on that. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've had to ask for that peace so many times, and he always provides that peace. I pray that peace for people. I want to be able to bring peace into the atmosphere, and that's really one of my big prayers in my hearts. And Nancy spoke something up here when she prayed for me that was encouraging in that, because I want to illuminate that. I want to be able to bring peace into a room by the Spirit of God. And in my job, in my workplace, I do that regularly. It's not just for here. I have meetings where I'm dealing with complicated conflict, and to be able to see spiritually the solution that's kind of floating around out there and pull the pieces together and put it out on the table, and people go, wow. And trying to trust in the peace of God to squinch the conflict in life and squinch the pain that's out there. claim it. And that's just one of the passionate things for me. I want that peace. And to go through the continual pain and struggle of the losses that I've had in my life. And knowing, I've had to fall back on that. God is God. I mean, it's just, it was such a revelation when she just spoke that out. It was just simple words. And so I want, you know, these are easy takeaways. God is God. Jesus wept. Understand that, you're dismissed. No, you know, those are things that you can really remember. And when, you know, because sometimes when you're going through the toughest times, you can't get into your Bible and you know, you start flipping through like my mom did and said, the answer's in here somewhere, but I don't know where it is. And just, you have to fall back on who God is and just say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I trust you. Feel it or not, you're mine. You've got a hold of me. And sometimes it's hour by hour and until you get there. And I really wish I wasn't such a slow learner and I had to get this hammered into my head so much over the course of my life and that there wasn't so much need be in my life. If need be, I mean, when Mark said that, I've just laughed ever since I heard that. There's been so much need be. But because of that, I can say it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. I learned it through those hard times. It was pounded into me. It was beat into me. So I know that. Do I want more afflictions? No, I really don't. Do I struggle with the possibility that they're probably going to come? Yep. God knows the biggest fear in my life, based on what's happened to me, the biggest fear in my life is losing those close to me. I've had so many losses. And say, other people possibly have far worse stories than that, but that's a fear that I have to surrender him to him almost daily. And I'm not walking in your shoes, and I don't know what your situation is or your pain. And the examples I've shared are from my story and from what I've learned and who I am. But what I can say is that God is faithful, and he is the one that can bring you through it no matter what. That he is it. It's who you know. And in this case, you know the God of the universe that is compassionate and caring and doesn't miss. He doesn't mess up. He's making us into who he wants us to be. And that's a powerful place to be. And pray to be a fast learner. But again, we got to learn the hard way all too often. But God will never give up. He will never give up. Because he knows the plans he has for you. He knows the future that he has for you. He knows the thousands of possibilities. He knows the best course of our life. He knows some of the choices we make are going to take us off course. But as it said in Job, none of your purposes can be thwarted. He's going to get us back on track. And he's going to get your life where he sees your life being. It may not be what we imagine, but it's going to be what the kingdom of God wants and what's best for us, what's best for our family, best for things we don't even understand. And there's a lot of things that you're not going to come up with an answer for. After losing 3 kids, my dad, and I've shared this before, he said, if you get hung up on why, you're living in the past. And you've got to get beyond that. You can't get stuck on why. And what I really got when I was putting this together is we need to be stuck on who. Who do we live for? Who do we trust? That's what it comes down to. Not about the whys, it's about the who. And I can keep going, but because these are things I'm really passionate about, but I just really feel like those are some of the key points. So when you sing that Lauren Daigle song again at some point in time, that's just a reminder. It really is just a great reminder of trusting God, because we may feel like they're unanswered prayers, but they're not. It's God knowing the best way, having that big picture. And he does have the big picture. And sometimes I wish he would show me little bits of it, but But you know what? The few times that I felt like he's shown me what's going on out there in the future, I've screwed it up. We get in the way. It's like, oh, that's really cool. I'm just going to go for that. And we miss everything else around us. And we trip over things that we should be doing. And we're heading for something he's given us way out there in the future. And we get frustrated and we stop. Because God will give you a glimpse of that. We had that happen early on in our life. And God gave me a picture of where we're going to be. It took us 25 years to get there. And I got frustrated along the way. It's like, no, God, I saw this. This is what you said for us. And it took a long time to get there. And I made mistakes along the way trying to help myself. Let's speed this up. You know, I can do this. Doesn't work that way. And that patient thing is just it's such a difficult word. But that's where we bring some of these afflictions on ourselves, because we try to get out ahead of God. And you've just got to trust in who, and trust in that foundation that he really does, he gets it. He's got that big picture. There's just no question that the blessings in life are so powerful by walking with God. It is just so powerful and so amazing. And so I encourage you to, yes, to read the Word. There's so much in there. There's so much, but you know the Word. So many of you already have that in your heart. You've got the Spirit. And now you know who and why. You've got the foundation in your life. And you can rest in that and you can trust in Him. And know that He's compassionate. He knows exactly what's going on. And He also knows the blocks in our life. And He knows all the things that He's still got to work through. And He's going to figure out how to do it. Like it or not. Because God is God. And you're going to, if you come to Laura's tomorrow, you're going to hear so much more of that. And it's such an awesome story. And I don't know anybody more qualified to talk about peace and poise.